Good morning. Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. I forgot to ask during Bible study this morning, are there any announcements that need to be made before we start service today? Okay, well then feel free to peruse through the announcements that are written down in the back of the bulletin. God's blessings on your worship this morning. Please join in singing our opening hymn number 914. Please stand for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
What man is there who desires life
and loves many days, that he may see good.
Keep your tongue from evil,
and your lips from speaking deceit.
Turn away from evil and do good.
Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous,
and his ears toward their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil,
to cut off the memory of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears,
and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted,
and saves the crushed in spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous,
but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
He keeps all his bones.
Not one of them is broken.
Affliction will slay the wicked,
and those who hate the righteous will be condemned.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee. Glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God,
whose strength is made perfect in weakness,
grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." To him who lacks sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true blood, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed printed on the back cover of your hymnal. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father,
by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. I'm not seeing anybody for the children's message this morning, so please join us in singing our sermon hymn, number 696.
Outcome for my good that rested, sleep in peace. And on that final day, when all the dead are waking, stretch out your mighty hand, my deathly slumber breaking. Then let me
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So one of the classes that I teach at Concordia High School is basically like a Christian introduction to philosophy course. And since this past week was the first week back to school, which everybody was so excited about, we began by going over some of the basics. And during the first few lessons, we focus on one question that on the surface really should be pretty easy to answer, but once you examine it closely, it's a lot more complicated than it seems. Namely, what does it mean to be wise? When we think of a wise man, we might typically think of how he's described in a fairy tale, an old man sitting on top of a mountain, thinking great thoughts, waiting for those who are intrepid enough to face the journey and come to him seeking an answer to life's questions. And then, or at least, that's how many of the stories go, and then he answers those questions using some kind of riddle, and then people leave a little bit disappointed, only to discover later in their adventure that the old man had given them the answer after all. They just weren't smart or experienced enough to recognize it at the time. At least that's how many of the old fairy tales go, and like all good fairy tales, they contain more truth than fiction. For most people, true wisdom looks ridiculous. It looks like folly. It looks confusing and difficult, and they have trouble seeing truth when it's right in front of their face. Jesus himself tells us that the door that leads to destruction is extremely wide, and many end up going through it, while the door that leads to salvation is narrow, and there are few who find it. Most people, as it turns out, are content to go along with the crowd, assuming, wrongly in most cases, that there wouldn't be so many people heading in that direction if it was dangerous or would lead them to harm. And yet history contains far too many examples to count of people and even entire nations walking themselves right into disaster for no other reason than no one bothered to stop and ask whether or not what they were doing was actually wise. This herding instinct is a powerful one. The belief that there's safety in numbers, and as a result, most people end up mistaking foolishness for wisdom and alternatively dismissing wisdom as foolishness. In our reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 9, King Solomon, the wisest king ever to have lived, describes what wisdom does and how she operates, and how she is often met by those who encounter her. Solomon describes wisdom as this hostess living within a great house that she herself has built. She's prepared the food, she's mixed the wine, and then she sends her servants out into the countryside to summon those who need what she is offering. She says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn here. To him who lacks sense," she says, "come, eat of the bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the ways of insight." And yet, despite the fact that wisdom is freely offering hungry people what they need, that she's openly inviting the hungry to eat her food and drink her wine and walk in her ways, there are many who choose not to take her up on that invitation. There are many people who, as it turns out, are content with being ignorant and foolish, so much so that not only do they ignore wisdom's gracious invitation, they bridle and they attack anyone who tries to convince them that they should probably take her up on it. As Solomon writes, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who approves a wicked man incurs injury. It's kind of a hard and fast rule that foolish people are content in their foolishness. They're often even possessive of it, and they lash out at anyone who tries to convince them otherwise. I'm sure most of us could mention a few people we've known who fit this particular mold, and the truth is that all of us have been this foolish person at some time in our lives or another. Maybe we still are. None of us like being told that what we're doing is wrong or that our ideas are bad ones. However, how much it may anger or annoy us, that's really the only way to find out who our true friends are. Who loves us enough to tell us that we're wrong? And are we wise enough to recognize this love when we see it? In our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to his friends, to all of his disciples, as well as to the crowd in the synagogue that was gathered there to hear his words. And he had quite a few disciples at that time, many more than just the 12. And like Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, he's inviting all of them to share in his wisdom, to abandon the path that leads to sin and death, and instead travel on the path that leads to life and salvation. And as it turns out, Jesus himself is that path. He himself is the way. And if they're going to take up wisdom's offer and eat the bread and drink the wine that she provides, there's only one way they're going to receive it. They have to get it from Jesus. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the world, life of the world, is my flesh. Now, many of the people that Jesus is speaking to, many of them had seen him not too long ago feed 5,000 men with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Some of them had been there at the wedding at Cana when they'd seen him turn water into wine, and some would, see him go on to do many other miraculous things throughout the course of his ministry. And yet for most of them, this is too much. Jesus is going to feed them with his body? And so, like we read in John's gospel, it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, surely Jesus can't be talking about literal cannibalism. Why is he speaking in riddles? Why can't he just speak normally, plainly, in a way that they can understand? And what is this nonsense about him coming down from heaven? Isn't this the carpenter's son? The one who comes out of Nazareth? I mean, it was fine when he was performing his miracles and all that, but now he's acting strangely. He's talking like someone who's lost his mind. As we read in John, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus' words make no sense to these people. In reality, his words are nothing less than true, life-giving wisdom, but like most people, his hearers don't know wisdom when they hear it. They prefer to hear things that are simple and easier to digest, much in the same way that it's easier to digest, carefully crafted sound bites than it is difficult books, even though the books are better for you. And they certainly are interested in things that actually challenge them to amend their lives or closely study and learn the Word of God. And so they leave. St. John tells us that after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And as you will note, Jesus makes no attempt to stop them from leaving. He fully realizes that most of these people are going to reject his message. They're going to reject the invitation that wisdom offers along with all the good things that he places before them. I mean, these people are all devout Jews. That's why they agreed to follow Jesus in the first place, because he had taught them the Word of God. But when Jesus starts to treat God's Word as if it is real, when he takes it from being a list of abstract commandments and instead treats it as a concrete reality centered in himself, saying that he is the promise of God working among them right now, they don't have the wisdom or the imagination to see the truth in his words. You see, at the end of the day, I think that a lack of imagination can work to completely destroy a person's faith. It takes imagination to see the unseen, to believe that there is more to this world than simply the outward appearance of things. We have this rather silly idea that a person's imagination is based entirely in fiction, that it keeps them from seeing the world as it actually is. In fact, the complete opposite is true. The human imagination is what allows us to see the mysterious within the mundane and everyday things that we take for granted. Imagination allows us to see the truth of things beyond their outward appearance, to look at bread and wine and see the body and the blood, to look at a carpenter from Nazareth and see God in human form. Someone with zero imagination is incapable of seeing what's right in front of their face and is therefore incapable of taking God at his word, because God calls us into a heavenly reality that, while for the moment is unseen, is more real and eternal than anything else we encounter in our day-to-day lives. Children tend to be full of imagination. I suppose this is one reason why Jesus commands us to enter the kingdom of heaven as little children. Being less jaded by the world, they have far less difficulty believing that the words spoken by Christ are true. It is we, the mature ones, those who consider ourselves wiser and older, who so often find ourselves being too smart by half and therefore being outed as complete and utter fools. This is my body. This is my blood. A foolish person hears these words and, you know, maybe tries to rationalize them or else dismisses them outright. After all, you know, Jesus can't be serious. Clearly he means they symbolize his body and his blood, or else maybe he's completely lost his mind. That is the thinking of a fool. A wise person, on the other hand, immediately rejoices in these words of Christ, because a wise person knows that they need these things that Christ is offering, that a symbol never saved anyone, and that nothing less than the body and blood of Jesus will be good enough for their salvation. That's what St. Paul means in 1 Corinthians when he says that the gospel is foolishness for the Gentiles and a stumbling block for the Jews. But to those who are called, both Jew and Gentile, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. See, wisdom is a hard thing to come by, and I suppose it always has been. Fortunately for us, we have an endless source of it. Jesus Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 12 of his disciples recognize this, even if they don't yet understand it. 12 of them remain at his side because even if they don't fully yet understand his words, they know the voice of God when they hear it. This same wisdom God offers and grants to us as well, not because we're wise in our own right, but because we know ourselves to be fools. Fools who, left to our own devices, would surely ruin our own lives and the lives of everyone around us on our way down the path to hell. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God because Christ is there to turn us around, to usher us onto the narrow path, and to offer us himself to eat and to drink so that we never hunger or thirst again. May you all continue on that path of salvation that God has opened to you. Continue to eat the feast of salvation that he has provided. And always to say along with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to please stand for the offertory.
Eat in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the family of God, for every nation, tribe, people, and language, and for all those who hunger for the true bread of life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For constancy to work for the food that endures to eternal life, that we would never hunger or thirst for anything but Christ and his righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ministry of this congregation in our community, that many may embrace Jesus as the Christ and believe he is the true bread of God come from heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all homes and schools, especially the schools, universities, and seminaries of our church, that we may remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For President Biden, Governor DeWine, and all those who hold offices of public trust in our land, that they would serve according to the will of God and for the good of all people, and for all in law enforcement and those who judge in our courts, that they would act not for selfish gain, but for the benefit of the people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Justin, Ted, Carl, and the families of Will Benfelt and Douglas Meyer, that in accordance with his will, they would give thanks to God, and for the depressed, the lonely, and those who mourn the death of loved ones, that God would strengthen their faith and assure them of his presence in all circumstances. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune today, that the Lord would prepare our hearts to welcome Christ, who assures us that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink, and that feeding on him we may depart in his peace in the expectation of eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together
from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, full of thy glory, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith into life everlasting. Go in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Please stand. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith into life everlasting. Go in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We sing our closing hymn, number 813.
Rejoice, O pilgrim throng, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With voice as full and strong as ocean surging praise, send forth the sturdy hymns of old, the psalms of ancient days. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With all the angel choirs, with all the saints on earth, pour out the strains of joy and bliss, true rapture, noblest mirth. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Praise him who reigns on high, the Lord whom we adore, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.